All right, so we're going to finish with the third part of First House Pisces. But first, hope all is well. Cheers. Here I have kale, spinach, celery, beet, and apple and ginger. So, with these new energies that are coming along, which we'll review the transits of this chart also, these new energies that are intense, a liquid diet is actually encouraged because we will feel lighter and we'll have more energy within ourselves. And that way, we're not using a lot of energy to break down more dense food. Okay, there's nothing wrong with eating meat. That's your belief system. I eat meat, it's part of my belief system. But I also have started a strong, healthy habit of having more of a liquid diet. But not here to talk about my diet. We're here to talk about the Snaitle chart. And with the previous analysis in part one and part two, it had to do with planetary signs and house combinations, along with vibrational astrology, which helped us define what our long-term aim, our goals, and our intentions are in this lifetime for the first house of Pisces. We will now discuss the projection analysis. Okay. This will represent an evolutionary movement forward, right? A consciousness unfoldment all within your life. We will indicate the planets moving forward through the signs and houses, which create different combinations. And as the planets move forward at their own rate and create connections with other planets, the geometric connections are what creates and discreates, right? Releases, discreates energy configurations in your energy field. We all have a sphere of consciousness. We all have an aura, and we all have an energy field. Okay, so as a physical human being, our divine spark, we are a crystal core of a big energy field that has a lot of energies floating around and creating different combinations, both positive, negative, throughout our life. The energy combinations that seem to create real circumstances in our physical reality are the energies at some level of our self, right? Of our self. Okay. We're not small. We're in a physical body, but we are much larger and grander than we can conceive with our earthy mind. We choose to come into this physical life and create our circumstances so that we can see an outside circumstance in our life and learn from it, see an appearance, right? And then once we figure out the appearance, we can see through the appearance, and then we project something else. Okay? Our consciousness is growing and unfolding. Let's see. Nothing in projections is destined, nothing in projection analysis is destined to occur, but only occurs as we choose to see it in an external form and learn something from that circumstances. I heard many years ago through a teacher who I admired, Robert Anton Wilson, around 2020, he said, "We're all here," speaking of human beings and humanity, "we're all here negotiating on behalf of our reality. Right? My insides view the outside world differently than this other person's insides, which is projecting and creating their reality. So, okay. We all have our reality and our shared reality. So when we watch progressions of the planets around our chart in the course of our lifetime, we have several opportunities with each planet and each house to learn something and move forward to increase our frequency of beingness, okay, in a three-dimensional reality. And our consciousness, and in our consciousness, which we could, within our soul structure, we can call it that, our soul self. Okay. Let me share the screen. Okay. Share. So here is first house, Pisces. All right, so now we've already discussed the first vibration, the natal chart, the planetary placements. This is the blueprint that you came in into this lifetime. And things that you wanted to experience. But let's look at sixth house. Let me get the pen. Let's look at sixth house Uranus. Okay, it is squared. See this right there? It is squared third house Moon. All right. Now, this creates certain energy fields within your auric environment, okay? And your energy field. And this intuitively, if you want to focus on those event structures a little bit more clearly, then you start thinking thoughts associated with the energy field on the subconscious level. So you can review the third house area of life attributions, which is the mental body development, right? You can review the moon attributions, emotions, changes. Also, the moon in this lifetime represents an important area of life that needs to change, that you want the change. Okay. Can review the Taurus zodiac sign attributions and expressions. And know that with the square, that there's going to be some conflict and some motivation with sixth house Uranus and Leo, right? And we talked about all of this. And also, I suggest using the tarot keys as symbols, not just the astrological moon symbol or Uranus symbol. But we know that with key zero, the Fool, Uranus is assigned to key zero. So we can use that symbol, right, to bring into our energy field when we consciously shine light and think about key zero, sixth house, Uranus, Leo, sixth house attributions, right? We can think about Leo, which is assigned to the eighth house, astrological, excuse me, the zodiac sign Taurus is assigned to key five, the Hierophant, and the moon is assigned to key two, High Priestess. So there's four symbols that we can use. This is why tarot is so powerful. because the subconscious sees one symbol, or I should say, our conscious mind sees one symbol. For example, key two is assigned to the moon. Okay. Our subconscious, but there's symbols within symbols that our subconscious already knows. And by us impacting our subconscious with key two, the moon, and us consciously thinking about the third house and also Taurus, right? Then we're actually focusing on some good change. And it may be very subtle. It will be very subtle, right? Spirit's not going to give us anything we're not ready for. But this is one way to bring the Uranus moon energies into proximity, bring them in closer of your physical body, right? Your energy field. Then once the energies are in touch, you can do this with your consciousness, with your physical body. The connection is made within the three-dimensional reality so that this combination can manifest as an event in your life. This is quantum physics, right? Astrology is based on quantum physics. This has a different label, but the mathematics is all there. So these subtle energies, the subtle information, the outworking through the aura into the physical body, from the physical body into your DNA structures, and into the DNA structures, which manifests as real circumstances in the outside world. That's the projection, right? So anything that we observe in the outside world from an astrological standpoint has to occur within ourself first. And I'll explain all this. Just bear with me. I wanted to have this long introduction and listen to it a few times, but I'm trying to drive home some very important understandings, okay, of how progressions work in astrology. So, along with, like I said, quantum physics and astrology, because we authorize that anything that happens in the outside world that must occur within ourselves first. Okay. The outside world has to match our insides. The law of correspondence. Right? We can even say the law of vibration. We authorize that it should happen in our life. Then we project it into the outside world so that we can see it more clearly and learn something from the projection. Because nothing comes into our life unless we authorize it at some level within our consciousness. Okay? Nothing comes from the outside world that I do not know already at some level in my consciousness. It's fascinating. It really is. And this is why the Divine Mother is considered understanding. Okay, Divine Father is wisdom. We have to understanding is way more important than intellect. Once we begin to understand, well, I'll get into it in a minute, but just know that everything that comes to us from the outside world was created by energy configurations within ourselves. And then we created the circumstance in the outside world. So we can observe it and benefit from it in some way. Okay. This means that we also are learning what we don't want to experience in the future, but other circumstances are created so that we learn what we do want to experience in our future. All right. So let's see here. I'll get into this in a minute. Hang on, let me think for a second. All right. So our subconscious mind is taking pictures of everything in all moments. Quick. Snap, da, 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 da. Snap, snap, snap. And our self-consciousness is what's impacting our subconscious, which is arranged, which is receiving these images. Okay. And then our subconsciousness will release what we're ready for when it comes to understanding. Because our subconscious mind already knows all this information. Our subconscious mind knows everything. It's just our self-conscious mind. That's how we can gauge, our spirit can gauge where we're at with our spiritual unfoldment. Okay. But back to projection analysis, nothing in mathematics, nothing in the graphics of our projection defines a circumstance that will occur in our future years. Astrology only opens us up to possibilities of things occurring in a certain way at any point in time, because we always have multiple choices of how we want to use our energies, how we use our thoughts, how we use our feelings and emotions, how we use our activities and our imagination. Okay, so like I said in one of the previous videos, we have multiple choices and we try to pick what we consider to be the best choice. But this is not always true because we cannot see the larger picture in our life. We do not always know what is best for us. So we find out months from now that maybe it wasn't the best choice, but we did learn something from that choice, right? All right. Now, we going back to our choices, we learn not to choose that again. We've moved on from it, right? It comes up again and again. And so we move into another life direction. This means that we cannot really lose in the game of life. Once we understand how things work, and know that everything is working to support us, to move us forward in life and move upward in life towards our spiritual consciousness, then we understand majority of what we can call the game of life. All right. So astrological work is manifesting from psychological, not physical. All right. It's an inside job. And we can manifest through the laws of this reality and use our creative imagination, okay, in a big way for ourselves so that the universe, the cosmos, can create the circumstances for us to move into those bigger circumstances. We put limitations on ourselves due to past thoughts, past situation, past beliefs, habits that no longer serve us, that we're still habitual and subconsciously or autonomously still doing, that we need to change it up. Okay? Because at some point in our life, we will decide that we do have more capabilities than what we consciously are aware of. And all these things that we have structured as limitations and restrictions are from our past, but they do not govern what is going to happen in our future. That's why the moon placement in our chart is very important, and we can also look at Uranus again, because Uranus represents the present now moment. Our Uranus placement will not pull from the past, will not try to predict the future. Uranus is about in the moment now. There's chaos. Uranus will try to organize that chaos. It will help organize that chaos where there's clarity and create some clarity. Okay. So, third house, moon, habits. Sort of think about that a little bit. And you're gonna have to work for it too, because there's a square here, and there's gonna be some motivation within this planetary configuration to help grow this house. Remember, this is a small house. Let's go back down here at the bottom. Let me erase this. Small house, 24 degrees. All right. This means that in a previous lifetime, there was not a lot of experience or not a lot of work put into that particular area of life, the third house. This is a clue that we brought into this lifetime that we now know that this lifetime is going to have some difficulty with the third house area of life. Okay. I will talk about the ages and the how I calculated the age for the planets in a minute. I want to continue to speak about how things will happen in our life, and only we govern what will happen to our future, okay? And we do not have to repeat the future from the past. There we go. So again, habits that no longer serve us. We can drop them. And once we drop them, it opens up space for new conscious growth, new expanded awareness. And when this happens, we'll just use third house as an example. Since it's 24 degrees, this house is going to expand a little bit, right? Because you're building upon other lifetimes in this lifetime, and it's no longer gonna be 24 degrees. It's gonna be closer to 30 degrees, which is more balanced. Because you're building up the experience, you're living life where you can use these planetary energies to create the experiences. Okay. Now, most of us normally get lazy and the past just happens again and again. And this is us not using our memory correctly. All right. All of us, all of humanity, everyone is guilty and can testify this whether they want to or not. Just we're young, as humanity is very young. Yes, we're growing and we're at an evolutionary point where we're shifting to higher energies and higher vibrations, higher dimensions. But we still get lazy. And we'll repeat these habits over and over and over again, and then it feels like a never-ending game until we consciously and creatively and willfully change our direction to another more supportive direction. The way we think is projected thoughts into the universe, and this creates realities that we want to experience. All right. The astrological analysis is attempting to bring a clearer picture of what we are here to accomplish in this lifetime. But remember, astrology aside, all these symbols, drop them for this now moment. We are Christ consciousness. And we can acknowledge that we can do anything we choose to bring into our life. Period. Astrology is just a spiritual modality to help us come to this realization that we can do anything we want. We just have to choose to. All right. Now, I love astrology because it's a great visual for the subconscious mind. And it also helps us acquire greater understanding about ourselves to the point where we can identify aspects within ourselves and then accept us for who we are on a personality layer. And eventually we get to the deeper essence of who we are, which is the divine spark and our soul self. But we're going to go through what's called the life phase analysis. Okay, we're going to go through the houses. I'm going to show you how it works and probably, yeah, let me show you how it works. So the life phase position is an astrological timing mechanism that defines our age as it moves forward. Okay. That's how I got your ages calculated down here. Let me clear this real quick. Right here. Okay. We can see that your sun, you were born here at your ascendant, age zero, incarnated. All right. And then at age five and a half, right? We will pass your sun. And then at age nine, we'll pass Mercury. At age 25, we pass your moon. And at age 50, we pass Uranus. So the math is for every degree, it equals 4 months. And then we multiply four, excuse me, we multiply the age. So we'll just age nine times 3.5. All right. Because every degree is 4 months. And then we have to take in consideration leap year and it's the sun doesn't go around the, I mean the earth doesn't go around the sun exactly 365 days. There's more math involved. But anyway, 9 times 3.5, which would equal, let me 80 would equal 87.5. Yeah. And the moon is probably about the 89th, 88th, 89th degree from here. Got 0 degrees, go all the way around. And here we got 89 degrees. So I was able to determine that at not, oh, not, excuse me, not the moon, Mercury. Yeah, it's definitely not 20. Okay, no, excuse me. 25. 25. So 25, let me erase this. 25 degree, age 25 times 3.5 equals 87 and a half. Okay, the moon is at 89 degrees. Okay, 30, 30. And then 15 degrees in, that's 60, 75. And then we add in this little bit right here, which will be 89. Okay, 89 degrees. So that's how I was able to determine at age 25. you'll pass your moon in the life phase. But so why is this important? And if you're able to stay with me with this, forget the math. I just had this impulse to show you how I got the age. Okay. But know that with the why the life phase position is important is because it indicates perspectives that we should have in our life during that particular time and space. All right. So the sun, right? We create experiences going through the astrological houses. All right. We create experience. That's an area of life in the first house. This is your identification house. This is the I am house. This is where you develop a physical body. This is, and actually it ends here. This is where self-esteem is established. So on a soul level, prior to incarnation, you placed your son in the first house. There was, think back to when you were 5.5 years old. Something big happened, whether you're aware of it or not. But this is something that was experienced early in life, age 5.5, age 9, or up to age 9. Okay. All of this is, there's a lot of energy circulating right here. Right. You created experiences that you went through, and certain aspects will need to awaken from within yourself before you can progress further along the path. This is why we're being grown. Okay. We're being grown, and we're developing. All right, so age 0 to approximately age 13, when you leave, when your life position leaves the first house and enters the second house. You develop a physical body so that you can access yourself in a three-dimensional reality here on Earth, right? And with the sun and the Mercury, we can go back and look at those attributions and know that these aspects of yourself, your sun aspect and your Mercury aspect, was awakened from within you. Okay. It's a these energies are they're not dormant, but hormones and the DNA structure will change and alter to create those experiences from within. And then projected to the outside world. Right? So, first house, physical body. And as we move from age 0 to age, approximately age 13, you enter your second house. This is where we develop our emotional body. Right? And in this phase of your life, from about age 13 to probably age 23 and a half, you develop your feelings and desires. You learn that if you want something, then you desire it, which creates energy that allows it to come into your life. You learn about positive and negative emotions. All of this is being turned on within and then projected to the outside world to create these experiences. Now, these are large houses, 48 degrees, 34 degrees. They're already well-developed areas of life from previous lifetimes. Now, why you chose these planetary placements most likely is because even though it's already well developed, and these planetary energies are in these houses, they will probably be leveraged by other area of life, right? The family development quadrant is small. Career development is small. But your physical development, I mean, excuse me, your personal development in the first quadrant is large, right? Your social development in your third quadrant is large. All of that's well developed within your subconscious mind. So it appears that, especially late in life, with these planetary forces, you have five planets that are in the second half of your life. Let's see. Yeah. You actually have six planets in the second half of your life, if you include Pluto. But later in the second part of your life, these planetary forces are going to become stronger. Okay. These planetary forces are going to open up certain aspects within yourself that will be projected outward to create experiences for you. To learn and grow and just to experience. Okay. Whenever there's planets towards the past the ninth house to the 12th house, these none of, we do create planetary relationships and energetic relationships and leverage these energies that are reflecting within us to the outside world and creating aspects, and all of that happens. But when we use the modality of the life phase position, this is a big clue that you have arranged within your life to do some work before you end physical life in this lifetime. Okay. All right. So, second house, yeah, third house. This is where you build your mental body, right? Ages, let's see. So your moon is in this house. So most likely in previous lifetime, maybe there was some stuckness or a habit or pattern that you didn't want to bring into this lifetime. Okay. So your moon in your third house is going to help you make that change. Moon is about changes. It's not all just about mother and emotions and feelings. It's about change. And that's why if we pay attention to the lunar cycle every month, when there's a new moon, it's time to have a new creation, a new thought, a new idea. And we build upon all our previous ideas and creations, but we don't stay in them. Okay. All right. So change in this lifetime, third house, educational process, psychological and mental growth phase. Short travels, okay. Friends, communication, siblings. Now, again, fourth house, I mean, third house is small, So there's a pre-birth need to work in this area of life. Your fourth house, even smaller. Not a lot of work was done in previous lifetimes in the fourth house. This is the independent development phase for you, right? So this will be approximately age, let's just say 31, okay, when you enter the fourth house. And you begin to do your own thing. You create your own choices and you explore those choices. You the aspects within you, all of the chemicals and hormones and the DNA structures are changing within you so that these experiences can happen. You aim to be your own self and more independent of from your family, right? Independent of parents and family. It's the mother house also. Private life is fourth house attribution. So you're exploring yourself away from family. Now it is a family house, but we're talking about the growth from within, okay? The progression, the spiritual progression. But fifth house is also small. Okay, so your family development's going to be a difficulty in this lifetime. So here you're ready to extend yourself, right? You're beginning to open up to loving relationships. You're seeking a loving partner. You're open to family development, to creating a family. Small house, difficulty, right? And also another pre-incarnation clue right here. First house to the fifth house. They mostly dictate where we come from in previous incarnations. We have a lot of natural choices and directions that we choose up to about age 42. And 42 is a good number because 42 is when we reach our Uranus opposition. Okay? Uranus opposition. So the Uranus transit. Hang on, let me think for a second. Yeah, 42 years. Uranus transit is going to be an opposition of your natal Uranus. Okay. That means that we sort of shake up our life. And then we just got to be careful not to shake it up so much that we can destroy relationships or misconceive from what we have already created in our life and what we don't want. But Uranus will help do that. It'll help prepare for the second phase of our life. Now, the sixth house, let's go back down here. 31 degrees, it's balanced. But in this lifetime, this area of life is going to be relatively easy for you, okay? This is when you begin to contemplate if you want to continue doing whatever it is that you're doing for the second part of your life. Now, the second part of your life is when we cross our descendant. Using the life phase timing mechanism. Okay. This is just symbolic so we can gauge our life. All right. So begin to contemplate what you want to continue doing after age 50. Yeah, Uranus. So Uranus is, oops. We see that. At age 50, Your Uranus aspect will, right here, Uranus aspect will become activated within you. Okay. And in this area of life, you're going to decide what you want to take into the second part of your life. All right. Whatever it is, you're going to decide what you don't want to take into the second part of your life. Age 52 astrologically is considered half our life. Okay. We can just say 50, but mathematically, age 52. So within this range, within age 42 to 52, Pluto becomes activated at age 54 and a half. Not activated. I don't like using the word activated because it's not on or off. Sometimes I catch myself saying activated, but the aspects within, the Pluto aspects within, become the aspects within arrange configurations that will create aspects to be projected outward to create experiences. That's how powerful our subconsciousness is. Okay. And that all of this is happening a lot of times without us even knowing it. That's why it's the whole idea of just let go and flow has a lot of truth. When we start clinging to things that past creations, that's when we're just cluttering our energy. And so we have to let go and create space for these aspects within to flow through us. And then life becomes a lot easier. Okay. So in your sixth house, by the way, mental houses are the third house, sixth house, ninth house, and 12th house. Left brain is third house, right brain is ninth house. And we can also say that sixth house and 12th house, they're kind of both, but they're a blend. 12th house is definitely subconscious. Okay. Then we can actually say sixth house is more self-conscious because there's a union there, right? But yeah, sixth house, you begin to evaluate past choices, if they're good or bad. This phase of your life, you'll begin to create different directions if you choose to make those changes in your life. Also, any residual energy, no, excuse me, any residual illnesses from past incarnations or not past incarnate. See, that's duality. From previous lifetimes that were brought into this lifetime, any residual illnesses from previous lifetime, from other lifetimes that are brought into this lifetime, okay, you can let them go. Consciously say it out loud, write it down. If it's not serving to my highest good, I'll let it go. Doesn't matter what age you're at either. Okay. It doesn't have, it's just symbolically the sixth house is the area of life where we determine what we want and what we don't want and what we want to let go. And also know that all illness, every single illness that human has labeled and diagnosed is spiritual illness. And all that means is if we can know the meaning behind our illness, then there is an aspect within us that our body's talking to us. Okay, our body's talking to us. And there's an aspect within us that is possibly trying to play out. And we're not allowing it due to maybe emotional trauma and blockage that needs to be identified and resolved and integrated for whatever reason. But we are Christ conscious beings We have a divine spark within us, and when we're in alignment with our mission, our path in this lifetime, we do not get sick. We have lots of energy. We feel good. We enjoy life, right? Okay, so seventh house, new beginnings, new directions. All right. And your seventh house is 48 degrees, already well developed. So your social development within your subconscious is already established. Your relationships with others, your seventh house area of life, already established within your subconsciousness. In a sense, if you focus too much in this area of life, you're just sort of waste. We can consider it wasting potentialities that could unfold, right? For some reason, I felt like I had to say that, but we don't really waste or lose anything. We're always learning and growing. But the point is, for the rational mind to understand, these high degrees and the 48 degrees in your first house and seventh house, well, you're an exception because of this intercept, but we've already discussed that. Make sure you're not an exception, but there is some difficulty there, okay? Even though it's a well-developed house. Pre-birth needs, third, fourth, fifth, ninth, tenth, and 11th. I feel like that the later part of your life, there's going to be a lot of activity, okay? You may feel these energies start changing within. Try to remember to create space and be receptive for these energies. All right. Pay attention to your language and how you're talking to yourself. Pay attention to everything on the outside because it's revealing clues of your insides. If you see something that is triggering, or you can possibly do not like, ask yourself why, and then say yes. Okay? If someone, or all mirrors, if someone's angry at you, screaming at you, just say yes. What I mean is the space within, when we, just to simplify it, when we say no, we close up. Okay. When we say yes, however we express it, space opens up, and the mirror, the other person, they will feel this energy. Okay. We remain receptive, and the magic really begins to occur when we have this space open up within us. This is when we step into the unknown. The mirror is just revealing within us aspects we haven't identified yet, or habits that are still playing out, old beliefs that are still playing out. Old This is where we identify and we say, aha, I see you, I thank you, talking to self, right? I thank you, but this aspect of myself is no longer serving me. I release. Okay. All right. Got a little sidetrack there, but the pre-birth needs, the small houses, and yes, later in life, there's going to be a lot of activity. Let's see, here we go. It's going to be a lot of activity, whatever occurs. Just create space for it, okay? Don't try to figure it out. Create space, be open, be willing to receive, talk to the symbols, use tarot if you need to, meditate, allow Neptune, the dreamer, right? Big dreams. Neptune is going to help you acquire those dreams, those ideas, because this Neptunian configuration from within around age 73, okay, is going to it's going to be very influential. All right. Now you can actually pull Neptune to you right now in this now moment. This is just a map. Remember, we're Christ conscious being, we can do whatever we want. Okay? But once we're aware of how the energies are working within us, okay? You can meditate on Neptune now. Neptune is key 12 of tarot, the hangman. This is right. Key 12, the hangman. He's hanging upside down. Why? Well, he's let go. He's doing everything that he's no longer doing everything that he used to do. Okay. And he's became enlightened. All right. He looks very uncomfortable hanging like a martyr from the three pieces of wood, the columns, which are in the shape of a Hebrew letter Tav. All right. So he is not uncomfortable. He's enlightened. So think about symbols and how you can use them. Because with our life phases, it defines the current experiences, which are insides and our what I call our inner intelligences, okay? Our DNA structures. The hormones and molecules are working and moving and changing. They will direct the opening of what we want opened to experience in this incarnation. All right. So the crossing of the planets, when the life phase involves, let's just go up here. Let's just say age 70. Okay. At age 70, even though it's 73 mathematically, but remember, we are in control of ourselves, of our innerverse. So age 73 or 70, the crossing of Neptune means that you'll experience what we wanted to experience in that particular area of life, and also that point in time on a soul level, the soul self level. We can, just so the conscious mind understands this, right? It's mapped out. Our fate is, we carry in our first vibration our entire life. This is our blueprint. So at age 5 and a half, at age 9, at age 25, go back to these ages and think about the changes and the experiences that happen. Age 50, right? The crossing of those planets created experiences that you wanted to experience in that particular area of life, in that point in time. And that's how it works. Okay. This will allow your subconscious to wrap a symbol around your memories and your experiences for better understanding. Okay. Now, I'm going to make a part four. Because, and we're going to look at your transits and your progressions, but I had that long introduction and I decided just to make that part three. Okay. That means I didn't want to spend 30, 40 minutes, however long this recording is, and then go into the technicalities of your progressions and transits, because that's going to take an hour, hour and a half. That's why I wanted to make this video separate, because I think it's important to have this understanding. And all we're doing is coming at these symbols from another perspective that our mind is not used to, right? We're using symbols. We're expanding our awareness. We're expanding our consciousness by coming up with this different approach of understanding ourself, right? Know thyself. Because the planets, they serve as universal symbols, right? The houses, they serve as universal symbols also, areas of life that humanity as a collective, we experience, and also on an individual level. Okay. The zodiac signs, definitely universal symbols on how we express ourselves, how we express ourselves inwardly and outwardly. That's what's great about astrology is the symbols are very powerful. And yes, humanity has been using astrology for a long time and has evolved to the point to where we share this knowledge and understanding to help ourselves, which will allow us to help one another. Okay. If you want any tarot cards, I have plenty available. Just the symbols themselves. If you just want to look at them digitally, you can go to my website and they're all out there too. Minor arcana, major arcana. But if you physically want to hold some, and I also have leather cases. Okay. I used to customize them with names, but I haven't done that in a couple years. And that'll be all today. Progressions, transits, and the next video. Okay. And cheers, right? Cheers to new thoughts, new habits, and for our greater good.